The deep state is literally robbing you on a massive scale, not just you, but all of us, through something they call inflation. Stay tuned and I'll tell you more. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Behind the Deep State. I'm your host, Alex Newman. It is so great to be with you. I'm actually not in my home studio. Right now, I'm stealing Paul Dragoo's seat. If you're not watching his daily TNA show, you should check it out. It's fantastic. And I get to be a guest sometimes, and right now I get to borrow his spot. So thanks for tuning in, folks. We sure appreciate you. And today I want to talk about inflation. I mean, inflation, the economists, the idiot talking heads on TV, they want you to think it's some mysterious force that nobody really understands. And, you know, just listen to the bobbleheads on TV. It's transitory. Folks, let's just use plain English here. This is thievery. This is theft. They're stealing your money. And I mean, you can explain this very simply, right? Let's just say there's $100 in circulation, right? Let's say the Federal Reserve has created $100 and that $100 is now circulating in the economy. Now they create another $100. What happens to the value of the existing $100 if the amount of goods, services, property, et cetera, remains the same? Well, the answer is quite obvious. A fourth grader could figure this out. Every dollar is going to be worth half what it was before. Now, there's a whole other layer to this scam that we're going to get to, but inflation is all in the news. You know, the lying, dishonest federal government just released its latest inflation numbers. And, oh, wow, it's only 3.5% on an annual basis, says the fake media. It's only 0.4% month over month. We're only stealing 3.5% of your money every year. First of all, that's a lie. But even if it wasn't a lie, is it okay to steal 3.5% of your money? If you walk into a bank and you say, hey, give me 3.5% of your money, you say to the judge, it was only 3.5% inflation. I mean, come on. What's the judge going to say, right? They're going to throw you in jail, which is where you belong, because you're a thief. Well, that's what they're doing here with this inflation, folks. And by the way, they're lying to you, right? There's a great website called Shadow Stats. And they do some just really simple calculations, right? CPI, by the way, for the background, for those who don't know, it means the Consumer Price Index. They take a whole basket of goods and services and they figure out, you know, what did they cost last year? What do they cost this year? Whatever the difference is, that's the inflation rate. First of all, you know, it's a misunderstanding of what inflation is, right? Inflation, as Milton Friedman says, is always and everywhere a monetary phenomenon. The reason we're seeing inflation is not because prices are rising because the Federal Reserve, the central bank, is printing money. And of course, the federal government is destroying our economy. But if you just use the same formula that the federal government used in 1990, you'll see the inflation rate, the CPI rate, is radically higher than the fake media and the government are telling you. In 2023, for example, we reached a high on the current official CPI, a little over 8%, almost 9%. Well, if you use the old method that was used back in 1990, what you find is you're up at about 12 or 13%. If you use the method that was used back in 1980, this is interesting. So 2023, according to the government's numbers, we reached a high of about 9% inflation. Well, if you use the 1980 formula used by the government back in the 1980s, that number was actually about 17.5%. So they're not just stealing a few percentage points from you, from everybody who has cash, from everybody who has to work for a living, from everybody who's on a fixed income. They're stealing radically more than that. And they're stealing in a whole nother way, too, that we're going to get to. Don't worry. This is just the superficial theft, right? And you know, if you want to see how destructive this is, Zimbabwe offers a really, really good example. Now, Zimbabwe is an interesting case. They actually had an inflation rate, according to the IMF, that was 500 billion percent. Okay. In other words, your money was essentially worthless. So they have just introduced a new gold-backed currency called the ZiG. And yeah, I actually have a ton of old Zimbabwe money. I've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of trillions of dollars of Zimbabwe money. I used to teach advanced economics, and so I'd show it to my students. I'd give it as gag gifts to my friends who maybe like economics but didn't quite see the big danger of central banking. But just this year, actually just last month, March 28th, the Zimbabwe Central Bank announced that they're moving to a new currency where the currency is not just going to be printed, it's going to be backed by foreign currencies and by gold. That's a very interesting development. It seems like Zimbabwe is the only people with any sense right now. Whether they'll actually stick to that or not remains to be seen. But folks, the inflation numbers you're getting are a lie. And even if they weren't a lie, we need to understand we are talking about plain old thievery here. Now, I want to dig a little bit deeper into the nature of inflation, folks. And before we even do that, you know, we laugh at Zimbabwe for 500 billion percent inflation, but it's actually pretty bad in the United States as well, right? If you look at even using the government's own CPI index, the purchasing power of a dollar since the emergence of the Federal Reserve has gone down by over 95%. So if your great-great-grandpa worked really, really hard, super hard, he was super frugal, saved a bunch of money, buried it in your backyard in a jar, and then you go out there and you find it, you say, yes, we've got $300. Well, that $300 was worth a whole lot more than it is today when your grandpa buried it. So what happened to the value of that money? Right? It was worth drastically more. What happened to the value of that money? It was stolen. All of that work, all of that labor, all of those savings of your grandpa were stolen by the deep state. Now, the history of the central bank, we should do a whole episode on that. You know, if you haven't read Jared Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, you should. One of the best books ever. Certainly the best book on the Federal Reserve. I've actually been to Jekyll Island. And when you go there, the government actually has signs about this meeting, right? So back in 1910, a whole bunch of mega bankers got together with Senator Aldrich, and they plotted how to usurp control of the nation's monetary system. And that's exactly what they did. They got the Federal Reserve Act written. Then they got it passed using some very, very shady shenanigans. And yeah, the rest is history. They've been looting the American people ever since. It's no coincidence, by the way, that the income tax came in that same year, right? 1913. We got the Federal Reserve and we got the 16th Amendment. So digging a little bit deeper into the Federal Reserve, right? Created in 1913. It was a scam then, and it's a scam today. And they do so many things that are evil. They don't just print money and steal money from you. One of the other things that they do that is absolutely devastating and that is hugely beneficial for the deep state, they manipulate market prices. Actually, they manipulate the most important price of all, interest rates, the price of money, right? And we're going to go to break in a couple of minutes here, so we may not have time to get too deep into this, but they literally have a central planning committee called the Federal Open Market Committee, and they decide, using their superior wisdom, what the interest rate should be. So they say, well, we want an inflation rate of 2%, right? We want to devalue everybody's savings by 2% every year, or 3% every year. Pick a number, 1%, doesn't matter. And so then they decide, well, how much new currency should we create, right? And so the way they do this, if you're familiar with supply and demand, typically they will expand, if they want to drive down interest rates, they will expand the supply of money to drive down interest rates below what the market would have had them at. Now, if you know anything about economics, you know that supply and demand is critical to the setting of prices. And you know that when any government or central bank manipulates those prices, you get huge problems. You get shortages, you get surpluses. And when you manipulate the price of money, you get massive amounts of malinvestment. And so the people who understand this during the boom cycle, they make a ton of money and they get out before the bust part of the cycle. Right? The boom and bust cycle is literally caused by the central planners at the Federal Reserve. Now, even if we assumed that they were well-intentioned, and they're not, but even if we were to assume that this private cartel of megabanks masquerading as a federal agency was well-intentioned and really wanted what was good for you, we know that central planning doesn't work, right? For a whole variety of reasons. We probably should do an episode on that too. But you've got the incentive problem. You've got the tragedy of the commons. You've got the fact that without market prices, nobody knows anything, right? So what happens when they depress interest rates, when they suppress interest rates, make them lower than they would have been, people borrow money that they wouldn't have borrowed under market conditions. And that gets poured into housing. It gets poured into stocks. It gets poured into commercial real estate. It gets poured into whatever the latest bubble is. When they raise interest rates beyond what they should, which they haven't done that in a while, but when they do that, well, what happens is you get the bust part of the cycle. So everything starts crashing down, and then they come in and they scoop up our assets, our farms, our stocks, our companies, our businesses for pennies on the dollar. And so it's just a constant pipeline of wealth, sucking it out of the middle class and bringing it to the deep state, bringing it to the mega banks, bringing it to the criminals that are destroying our country and enslaving our country. So stay with us. We're going to be right back after this quick break with more on the Federal Reserve, inflation, and the deep state scam that is this system.
Hi, I'm Alan Keyes. I'm the host of IMTV's daily talk show about news and events in America. And I want to say a good word for The New American Magazine. Not only because Alex Newman has joined us as somebody who is periodically hosting a show, but because New American Magazine represents an alternative media that is willing to tell people the truth. With so much fake news spreading about, and the fact that right now this country's in an existential crisis, we remember who we are and where we come from and what our principles are, or we die. Reading New American Magazine can keep you up to the minute on the issues that are challenging us as a people and on which that survival hangs. You can check it out and subscribe at www.thenewamerican.com.
Welcome back to Behind the Deep State. I'm your host, Alex Newman. Thanks so much for staying with us. And folks, we always run out of time so quickly. There's so much to say about this. We're probably going to have to do some follow-up episodes. But I don't believe the government's inflation numbers. The government's lying to you, right? They're always lying to you. I mean, how do you know they're lying? Well, their lips are moving. It's the simple answer. But one of the most insidious things about this system that we have is that it is a trap, in the truest sense of the term. So when a dollar comes into circulation, virtually every dollar that comes into circulation, there's two very, very small exceptions that are so negligible, it's not even a drop in the ocean. You've got money that the Federal Reserve spends directly on stuff, like, you know, artwork for their headquarters or whatever. And then you've got money that is coined by the Treasury Department. So a fraction of all the currency in circulation. So almost all the money that comes into circulation is created as debt. Now, let the implications of that sink in for a moment. Usually, that currency comes into existence and it is loaned to the U.S. government. So the Federal Reserve will come in and they will buy Treasury bonds. That's basically an IOU from the Treasury. And so the Federal Reserve creates money out of nothing, and then they lend it to the Treasury at interest. So the Treasury will print up a $100 billion Treasury bond, $100 billion note, and they say, we promise to pay whoever has this bond, $100 billion or whatever it is, plus interest. So the Federal Reserve buys that bond at interest. Right? And then the Federal Reserve sits on that bond until they decide to suck money out of the economy. So completely out of nothing, they create currency and they loan it into existence. They loan it to the U.S. government. Well, what happens when it comes time to pay back that money? Let's just make this really simple. Let's say there's no money in circulation. The Federal Reserve creates $100, loans it to the U.S. government at a 5% interest rate. Just let's make it real simple numbers here. They loan this to the U.S. government, and let's just say that the interest payment on that $100 loan is $5. So the government has $100 now. They just borrowed it from the Federal Reserve, which created it out of nothing. And then that $100 starts circulating it. They give some to Planned Parenthood to kill babies. They give some to the military-industrial complex to bomb people overseas. They give some to pseudoscientists to study shrimp on treadmills. They give some to study who knows what kind of goofy thing, climate change, right? More excuses to enslave you. They transfer some to people who don't feel like working. And so that $100 starts circulating in the economy. And of course, they pay their own salaries and pensions. So now that $100 is circulating in the economy. Well, now that IOU is due. It's time for the U.S. government to pay back that $100 plus the $5 interest. So the federal government says, we need $100 and $5 of interest to pay back the Federal Reserve. Well, where are they going to get that money? Well, they tax it. Okay. So now there is no more money left in the economy. The government has taxed it all. They've got all $100 back, and they give it to the Federal Reserve. And the Federal Reserve says, hey, you owe us $5. Where's the interest? What are you going to do? Well, you got to create more money, right? So how do they create more money? Well, they create it out of nothing, and then they lend it into circulation. So now we're in even more debt. Are you seeing how this is a trap? Okay. And if the federal government pays back all the money, there's no money left in the economy. So the economy gets sucked into a black hole, a deflationary spiral where everything grinds to a halt. There's no more money for business. And so the federal government then will borrow more money from the Federal Reserve. Now, there's an additional complication here in that commercial banks also create currency out of nothing. They literally create dollars out of nothing using essentially the same process. As fractional reserve banking, you have the Federal Reserve will tell the banks what the reserve requirement ratio is going to be. Typically, it hovers between, you know, 5 and 15%. They just lowered it through the floor right now. So that'll be fun. Prepare for a massive economic crisis at a theater near you. But what they do then is they create money as well. So let's say that $100 that originally started circulating, that gets deposited by, let's say, Planned Parenthood in their commercial bank. And let's say the reserve requirement ratio is 10%. So now you have this commercial bank is sitting on, let's just say, $100. That's all the money. They're sitting on $100. Well, now people come in and they want to borrow money. Somebody comes in and says, hey, I'd like to build a house. Could I borrow some money so I could build a house? The bank says, sure, we'll be happy to do that. So they lend you some money, comes back, gets deposited, and what's next? Whoops. Same thing again. They're creating money out of nothing, loaning it into the economy with interest attached, and they're not creating the interest. So this is like running in a treadmill forever and ever. You can never get off the treadmill, ever. Because if you do get off the treadmill, all the money gets sucked back up. There's no money left. The economy gets sucked into a black hole. This is what happened during the Great Depression, folks. And Ben Bernanke actually talks about this. He has admitted that the Federal Reserve played a crucial role in bringing about the Great Depression. Ben Bernanke, by the way, was the former chairman of the Federal Reserve Bank. Listen to what this guy says.
The Federal Reserve contributed to the Great Depression in a couple of ways. First of all, the Fed was slow to ease monetary policy, to use monetary policy to provide support for the economy. Instead, by keeping monetary policy too tight for too long, the Fed allowed prices actually to fall. There was a period of deflation where prices were falling very sharply, which turned out to be a very negative thing for the economy. So monetary policy was too tight, too long. It was not supportive of the economy, did not keep prices stable.
Yep. I mean, it kind of sums it up. I mean, he acts like it was an accident, like these people are idiots. They're not idiots, folks. There are a lot of things, but they're not idiots. And so what they did was, even back in the 1920s, we had the Roaring Twenties, right? They lowered interest rates. They flooded the economy with funny money. And this was back when it was still ostensibly tied to gold. And so what happened? Well, lots of malinvestment. Money was priced too cheaply. There was an oversupply of money that wasn't justified by the fundamentals. And so what happened? Well, you had a party. And then when the Federal Reserve started sucking money out of the system, what happened? Everything collapsed, right? Everything crashed. And then the mega banks came in and purchased our ancestors' farms and businesses and stocks and assets for pennies on the dollar. It's kind of like Monopoly, where the bank always wins. Folks, we're being robbed. We're being looted. And we're just getting started on the evils of the Federal Reserve. Back over a decade ago, I did a really significant article for The New American. It was one of my first really big investigative pieces where I just did a really deep dive into a subject. It was called Fed Manipulations in the Crosshairs. This was in kind of the aftermath of the massive economic crisis that we had. Technically started in 2007, 2008 is when it really started hurting people. And what we found was that the Federal Reserve was manipulating the prices of everything. They were manipulating the prices of precious metals. They were manipulating the prices of real estate. They were manipulating the prices of stocks. All of it to the detriment of the American people. All of it to the benefit of deep state insiders, the mega corporations, the big banks, et cetera. You know, when we did that limited audit of the Federal Reserve, right? Congressman Ron Paul had been pushing forever to audit the Fed. The Senate really watered it down. But even that very limited audit revealed that trillions of dollars were created by the Federal Reserve and handed out to the cronies of the deep state. Folks, we have to stop this. We absolutely have to stop this. You know, we cannot restore freedom in this country. We cannot restore prosperity in this country as long as we have this fraudulent system. And by the way, they're getting ready to collapse it. They're getting ready to collapse the whole thing. You will own nothing, as Klaus Schwab says. They will own everything. And the Federal Reserve, the central banking scam, is the primary mechanism they're using to bring this about. So they need to be exposed. Now, you know, decent, honorable people can have a debate about what would be an ideal monetary system. I happen to believe that a free market monetary system would be ideal, where nobody is forced to accept anything with legal tender laws, where nobody's allowed to print money out of nothing. And we know essentially what would happen, right? The market would choose goods that are durable, that are transportable, that are scarce, that are valuable. And almost all throughout human history, that has been gold, silver, precious metals. Other things have been used as money. But when you have a free market, free people can determine for themselves what they want to use. And there are very, very good moves in that direction happening right now. Texas has opened up the gold bullion depository. We interviewed Marlo Oakes here, the treasurer of Utah, not long ago on our show. And he talked about what a good idea that would be. Many states have moved back to gold as legal tender, although, of course, that becomes very difficult still when you have the Federal Reserve and the IRS and the federal government demanding that everybody accept Federal Reserve notes and demanding that everybody pay their taxes in Federal Reserve notes. But we cannot free ourselves unless and until we fully understand this wicked scam, this wicked fraud of a monetary system that has been oppressing us and looting us for well over a century. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Alex Newman. This is Behind the Deep State. Get over to thenewamerican.com. Subscribe to the print magazine. Subscribe to our channel on Rumble. Share this information with your friends, with your congressmen, with your state representatives, and your sheriff. We need all hands on deck, folks. Our country is in dire straits, but we can turn the tide with God's help. We can reduce the size and scope of government. We can protect our family. We can protect our freedom. But it begins with understanding. So stay tuned for more from The New American. Again, I'm Alex Newman. This is Behind the Deep State. Until next time, God bless you all.
Here's the news, Dad.
Is it, son? Is it?
What about this one, Dad?
Nope. It's hard to tell what's real and what's fake these days. There's just too much baloney out there. At The New American, they cut through the baloney and give me the truth.
The truth is hard to find, but The New American has it. Check it out at thenewamerican.com.